This is a free Off The Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. The Off The Ball Rugby Roadshow is coming to your province. Join some of the biggest stars from Leinster, Munster, Ulster and Connacht as we travel round the country to preview the 2026-27 rugby season. Don't miss your chance to be there. Get your tickets now at offtheball.com/events. The Yellow iPod. On Off The Ball, catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off The Ball all season.
Welcome along, folks, to another episode of the LOI Pod here on Off The Ball. Ben Symes here filling in for the next couple of weeks while Stephen Doyle takes a well-deserved break. And before we get into this episode, let's take a listen to what happened last week on Off The Ball.
You're very welcome along to Talla Stadium for what is well and truly a blockbuster SSE Airtricity Premier Division clash. The champions, Shamrock Rovers, aiming to put themselves 8 points clear at the top of the table over St. Patrick's Athletic and Bohemians. And well, for John Russell Sherburne, they're trying to chase down that elusive fourth spot that may be enough to get European football at the end of the season if the results in the FAI Cup go their way. I can tell you, folks, that Troy Parrott has just put Real Betis 1-0 up against Real Madrid in La Cartuja. So a huge goal there. We'll keep you up.
Ben, we need to get ourselves off to Spain. The hell with this. Brilliant for Troy Parrott. What a great moment. Imagine being a striker. Imagine playing Real Madrid. Imagine being from inner city Dublin. Imagine scoring a winner against them. How good would that feel? And how much confidence would he take from that?
And Rob Harvey blows his whistle. A huge chance for Sean Moore to win this game at the death. It has hit full time here in Talla. It has finished Shamrock Rovers 0, Shelburne 0.
Folks, I wish I could give you another highlight of that game. But, I mean, that was one of the most drab, dreary League of Ireland games I've ever seen in my life. I'm glad to say that Garrett McGlynn and Vinny Perth are with us this week. Lads, welcome along. Vinny, you made the highlight reel there. It was your Troy Parrott monologue which superseded any action that happened on the pitch last Friday night.
To be fair, I think you're being a bit harsh on the game. It wasn't that bad, Ben. It wasn't
great now.
No, it was passive enough. But both teams had chances to win the game as well, didn't they, to be fair? Like, I don't think anyone done enough to win it, but it was passive enough, I think it is fair to say. Daniel Kelly should have won the game, maybe for Shells with that big, big chance. And Roberts had a couple of big chances as well, but probably typical of the form of the two teams. They've been passive enough over the last couple of months, and John Russell still hasn't had a win yet in the league, and Rovers are just making it a little bit interesting. They're still 6 points clear, but they're still making it a little bit interesting, and they're just struggling away. Shamrock Rovers are just stuck a little bit for their rhythm and their form at the moment, and starting to get bodies back. So interesting. It was still an okay game, then, to be fair, but just going out action wasn't high on the list.
I think it's a better point for Shelburne, or it's a better result for Shelburne than it is Rovers. And obviously Rovers coming off the back of the European exit in Derry, probably have see 2 points dropped.
Shells need one more win, Garrett.
Yeah.
To be
mathematically
safe. We all think he will be. But like Ben, you were talking about for getting back into Europe, and I understand that because it's still on. But also, one more win means Drogheda need to win 4 games to overtake them. I don't see that happening. So it's not a huge gap to Drogheda, but you could just do it because the teams under them are in good form and Shells aren't in any form. So yeah. One more win.
And Ben, I mean, Shells haven't won a game since the 3rd of July, and going away to the champions, the double winners, John Russell would have taken your hand off for a point. Not only a point, but a clean sheet as well. So that'll give the defenders confidence. I thought Sean Murray had a great chance at the end. Like, there was chances there. Like, not everyone goes to Talla and creates loads of chances. They had enough there to sneak it. But to keep a clean sheet, he'll be buzzing.
It was. It's a weird one where neither side have won in their last six games in all competitions. And you say it's a better point for Shelburne than it is for Shamrock Rovers. Like, I wonder for Shamrock Rovers, do they just need to kind of keep ticking on? I know Friday's game is going to be kind of the big teller. If they can get a win in Inchicore, it feels like that will be that. But, like, I still think it's a good point for Shamrock Rovers. I think it's a, like, two kind of badly needed points in a row, like the comeback at Derry and then that draw. I don't think it's a terrible result for them.
No. If you look at what's going on at Shells, John Russell's just in. He's betting and he can't win a game. The Barrett, the captain, is in and out. There's a bit of controversy there. I think it's Shamrock Rovers would have smelled blood, and I thought they would have went for more for the game, but they didn't. I think they, at the end, they were happy with the point. But before the game, all being equal, they would have thought, you know what, we're playing a weak Shells here. John Russell doesn't know his best team. He's changing it up every week. Barrett's missing. I thought Shamrock Rovers would have went for the juggler and got 3 points on Friday night, but they didn't.
Yeah, and you know what else, Gareth? In the week that Rory Gaffney retired, I think Rovers in games like that miss Gaffney. So often he's come off the bench and just injected madness. He's like, I shouldn't say it. You know when the farmer lets the cattle out for the first time in the summer, when he was coming off the bench, he'd just take off, he'd be gone. And I don't mean he wasn't technically as good as the others, but he caused so many problems week in, week out. And particularly in that, we touched on it on the commentary, Ben, that left-hand channel, Bourke, Bourne, there was always one other there, and Gaffney. So often he played on the sort of left and all the little triangles. Well, he gave them running power in behind in that channel. So Noonan is developing, as we know. McGovern has been injured. He gives them a bit of pace. But Rovers' attack and play at the moment is a little bit easy to play against, I would say, from a defensive point of view. And they're still going to score goals and they'd score more than everybody else come the end of the season. I get that. But it's just a little bit passive at the moment.
You say it's easy to play against. From their point of view, then what needs to be done to change that? Is there anything that can be done to change it?
Well, they will probably not agree with what I said, but which is fine. But they have to speed up the attack, and that's where whether Gaffney started for them at different stages or came on. Then all of a sudden he was an option in behind. McGovern's been an option in behind. When you go back to Johnny Kenny at different stages for him, he had that running power in between people. So it's a little bit like goal change games and open up spaces. So Roberts had taken the lead, then Shells have to open up a little bit more than they did, and then Roberts might get the second. Very, very similar to, say, a Man City under Pep Guardiola. Miles apart, but very similar in terms of style and structure. Rovers are such a possession-based team that every so often they need a Jack Bourne, a Graham Bourke to do a little bit of magic just to get the lead. And they've had that over the years, whether it's been them or Dylan Watts. There's so many players have done it, similar to when De Bruyne had done it or Phil Foden done it for City. And then teams have to go and either open up or settle for the defeat. They're just not getting enough goals from the big players at the moment, and their strikers aren't, and none of the strikers have done it over a number of years. The strikers don't look like they're going to get the 15 to 20 goals anytime soon. So you've just got to be careful that it's not become easy to play against. Centre halves, everything is in front of them, it's sideways, it's backways, it's waiting for the little pockets, as I said, down the left hand channel. And you've got to be careful and not a little bit too predictable going forward.
That, of course, was the only League of Ireland Premier Division game last Friday night. As I said, they will travel to Inchicore to face St Patrick's Athletic. That is going to be our live and exclusive League of Ireland commentary game this Friday night. Owen Heary is going to be alongside myself to call first versus second in Richmond Park on Friday. Lads, I do want to talk about the FAI Cup because it felt like it completely dominated most of our storylines at the weekend. And I'm going to start with Saturday's game, which was a crazy nil-all draw that I think both sides might walk away thinking that, well, if they walked away going into penalties, they might have thought they might have won it in those 120 minutes. Eventually, Bohemians get over the line against St Pat's Athletic. Ramal Palmer misses the key penalty at the end. There was a couple of moments in this game like, I'd be interested, Gareth, maybe to see first how you saw the game itself, because I thought Bohemians were maybe largely on top for a lot of the 90 minutes, but it had this weird feeling at the end of extra time that you felt like Pats could maybe be annoyed after the extra time that they didn't walk away with the win in those 120 minutes.
I've never watched a game that's ebbed and flowed as much. It was unbelievable. There was about four or five times when I turned around and said, either team, Pats were on top, Bows were on top. It kind of swung back and forth. There was loads of moment in the game, and it was actually a good game. For a 0-0, there was loads of chances, loads of gilt-age chances, particularly with Bows. Douglas James Taylor had a couple of really good chances, missed them, probably should have scored. Then when the substitutes happened, I felt that the substitutes worked better for Pats. There's no doubt about it. Whenever Forrest or Keane came off, you heard the crowd. They weren't happy with the two, probably two of their better players. Bagley came on and Edmondson came on, and it changed the game, and it swung in Pat's favour. I don't know whether it was because DJT and Vaughan went off. I thought taking Vaughan off really helped Pat's. He was causing all sorts of problems, picking the balls up in the pockets. But then going into extra time, Palmer misses that gilt-edged chance. I mean, that is he scores that, it's game over. I actually didn't see Bo score in extra time. I just didn't think they were in front. They were quite easy to defend against. They weren't really cutting Pats open. They weren't getting to the byline. And then, of course, Edmondson puts the corner into his net. It was a mad game. I mean, Pats will probably feel disgusted. I thought they were the better team, but again, you'd expect that being at home. But then for Bowes to go and win it 8-7, and Palmer to miss that penalty, it was some game to watch. I'm sure it was brilliant for the neutral, but it'll be a tough one for Pats to take.
Stephen Kenny after the game was quite furious. There was two penalty decisions that I thought maybe might have gone their way. There's the one at the end of extra time, which I think is a foul on Sean Hoare, but the one that Stephen Kenny was annoyed about was the one at the end of normal time where Edmondson's header comes off the bar and it looks like Joe Redmond's been pushed over. I mean, just to give you his quotes for those who haven't heard it, he says, "For me, that is absolutely 100% a penalty, no question. Oh my God, it can't be any clearer. I think he's just come in and bars Joe just as he's about to head it in. That's a penalty and it's not given." Vinny?
I tend to agree. I wouldn't say absolutely, but I think probably go against Joe Redmond is his sort of, it was almost theatrical in terms of how he fell over, but we'll never know if he was about to head it back into the back of the net, but he did get pushed in the back. And I think if it happens anywhere else in the pitch, it's a free kick. So it's a big call, and it didn't go Pat's way. So he can feel really hard done, but I thought he played really well at times, like Gareth said, and a couple of big calls and big moments didn't go the way. Palmer should have done a lot better. But I think if you latch on to one thing, whether it's either manager, I think you're wrong, because both teams had certain things that should have went away. Like, Bowles should have, James Taylor, two really good chances to get them off to a flying start and didn't take them. And then, obviously, Roma Palmer missed that Kiltez chance. So it was a game that could have went either way, and Pat's lost the fine margins on it, I would say. And they probably just about shaded. We said last week it was probably 51%. In favour of Pats because they were the home team, and I think it probably played out like that. There was nothing in between the two games, and in many ways a penalty shootout was probably a fair result, made a best man win, and ultimately Bowles did.
Gareth, like, you still were the boys involved in the game, so you can tell me this, but it feels like when you cling on to a decision like that when you've had 120 minutes to try and win a game, like, it feels like when you're going to that dressing room, you're maybe saying other things to the lads who are in there rather than what you're saying to the media.
Yeah, I mean, I think Stephen will look back at the game and he'll turn around and go, we performed relatively well. Like, I don't think he'll go in there and rip shreds off people. I thought they were really good, and I thought they finished the game the better of the two. And before Edmondson's header, I did not see Bo score. Like, he will feel disgusted. The players will feel disgusted. Yes, you can talk about penalty decisions, and it probably should have been a penalty, but there was loads of decisions in the game just went either way. I mean, I thought the referee had a good game in general, It was just the fine margins, and then when it goes to penalties, you have to stick them away. I mean, especially after Bowes missing their first penalty, you really have to be clinical. The penalties were good after that, but and special mention to Edmondson after scoring the OG, having taken the fifth penalty under that sort of pressure, it was incredible. And to give people an idea, when you're under that sort of pressure and you're hitting a penalty, right, your technique generally goes if you're in any way indecisive. But he was able to side-foot it, clean strike, right into the top corner. But obviously it wasn't enough. And listen, Stephen's record, and Vinny might be able to pipe in on this as well. Stephen's got an incredible record in semi-finals. So this is new territory for him for a while. He tends to win big matches in the semi-finals. He definitely did when I was playing for him in Derry anyway. So he will be disgusted. And I just hope they can bounce back because they've got a massive game. What an awful week it would be if they didn't go, or if they went and got beat against Shamrock Rovers now, and you're out of the cup, and possibly that could be them out of the league.
I was just about to say that. It feels like the whole season could crumble within the space of 7 or 8 days. Just before we move on to Bohemians as well, I think a word for Ryan Sheridan, 17-year-old who played all 120 minutes. I mean, he steps up and takes the fourth penalty ahead of any other attacker. He's the first attacking player to go for St. Pat's, and he blasts his penalty into bottom corner, which I thought was funny watching. I was at home watching this game, and you're kind of trying to make out stuff in the middle of the, you know, before the penalty shootout, and you could see him saying to Stephen Kenny, I want one. You didn't know whether Kenny and the players would kind of go, God, like, are we really going to let a 17-year-old get up here and take a crucial fourth penalty? Like, Vinny, I don't know if you've had experience of that as a manager, where a player of that age will step up and go, yeah, I'll put the team on my back, I'll take that pressure, I'll firm it, and then dispatch it the way he dispatched it as well.
Yeah, maybe not at that age, but, you know, big penalty shootouts often. I remember, ironically, Sean Hoare, he missed the other day, but Sean Hoare took a big penalty for us. And I remember in Riga in the Champions League game, and he just didn't really see Sean as a. Now, we've obviously been practicing him, and he takes a good penalty, but I didn't see him as that type of sort of. But he went out of his way to make sure I want this. And when someone does that, you tend to give them the chance. Now, it goes against you. Remember, somebody missed a penalty in the cup final, and but was so cocksure that he was the right man for it. So it can go both ways. But look, I think Sheridan, I just think, like, it wasn't his best game, or he wasn't absolutely outstanding the other day, but for a 17-year-old in the context of the game and how big it was, and he was outstanding, and he's on a radar of a lot of people outside of Ireland, that's for sure, and that's to do well to hold on to him over next year too. And but just shows you some of the quality that was on the bench, and Stephen picked him instead, and he took off some big players, Chris Forrester, as Gary touched on, and left him on the pitch because he obviously could make an impact. And Stephen doesn't do anything for sentiment. He's picking those. He's making those decisions because he believes in the young kid. Like, so, as I said, it's just a really good game. I liked it, but at the same time, there's a lot of stuff going on in the game. Like, I thought, for example, Bowes in the midfield, like Dawson Devoy was just slightly off, or whether he has an injury or not, I'm not sure. Bowes looked a little bit leggy as the game went on, and Pat's sort of looked a fitter team. That would be concerning a little bit if you were Bowes going to, you know, going to the well over the next couple of weeks. So, well, it must be an amazing feeling in Bowes at the moment. They'd be huge. If you think about 6 points behind Shamrock Rovers and 11 points with Pats, they play each other this week. Bowes are on a brilliant run. The squad looks together. The management are have everything nailed in. And Bowes look like the deformed team out of three of them. Whether 6 points is enough to overhaul, I don't know. But they look the deformed team out of anyone in that tree going for the league.
I was going to say, I didn't think they were particularly brilliant on the game, and like you said, I think if anyone was going to win it in extra time, it was going to be Pat. But like, I was talking to Steve before he left last week, and there is kind of a sense of something around Bohemians. Is there something kind of brewing in the background, something, I don't want to say magical, brewing in the background, but like, it is their last season at one of the most iconic grounds in Ireland. They're now into an FAI Cup semi-final. We know the history that they've had in the last 15 years or so when it comes to these stages of competitions. But it does feel like something might be going right for Alan Reynolds' squad here, Gareth.
Yeah,
100%. Ben sounds like a dreamer, Gareth, doesn't he? He's doing Steve-O's dreaming for him.
Actually, I was going to say, you think it's Steve-O talking?
I'm doing the dream without actually being a Boas fan. So I'm. If you can go at me, you can go at me for a lot of things. You can't go at me for this. I will be neutral to all.
But before Gareth answers, right? Let me be a bit. I won't use the word I was going to use. But like, if you don't dream, by the way, when you go into sport, you never achieve that. They have to believe they can win the league and do a double. You have to. Is that a long shot? 100% is. But if you're not in that dressing room and you're not thinking or you're not daydreaming about if Pats were to win this week, it's probably best result for Bowes is Pats win this week and we win on the road. We're 3 points behind and we still have to play Rovers. Then you're in the wrong sport, man. You know, or you're not going to achieve an awful lot. So you have to dream.
Have to be. And not only that, you've got Galway and Sligo your next two games. Bows do. I mean, if Pats were to win that against Shamrock Rovers, by the way, if they play as well as they did in the semi-final or the quarter final there, I think they have a good chance of beating Rovers. Like, this is not a Rovers that are flying. They're hurt. They're out of Europe. They're not going that well. 3 draws out of the last 5 and 2 wins. It's not blistering form. But Bows 100%, especially at home. That was the key to the semi-final draw. They needed to be at home. To be at home in Daly Mount, last FAA Cup game, I mean, they will be absolutely buzzing. It's just a pity they got probably the other informed team in the league, which is Waterford. I think if you had asked Bows, they would have preferred Derry or Galway, believe it or not, in Daly Mount. But they got Waterford, and they're just going to have to dispatch them. And then they look forward to a special final.
They have got Waterford, as you said, and Waterford dispatched Sligo Rovers 3-0 on Friday night. Tommy Lonergan scores. It's his 15th goal of the season in all competitions. Paul Jammin scores. It's his 12th goal of the season in all competitions. Like, I know where we rightly have been praising Graeme Coughlin for the job that he's done since he's came in. It did always feel like if you got those two lads to start clicking up front that the goals were going to go. Are Waterford more informed than Bohemians? Are Waterford the informed team in the final 4 teams of the FAI Cup?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the last, they haven't been in the last 5 games, 3 wins and 2 draws. But it's not only that, it's the numbers that they're putting up as well and how convincing they are. And you mentioned the two strikers, right? We know how good they are and we've praised them up and down the country. But I have to say, see the layer behind that. And we've talked about the defence as well, how solid they've been and chipping them with goals and assists. But you know who really impressed me in the last couple of weeks is Jurgen Volus. He's really, really come on. I know he's 28 and he's a wee bit more established, but he's had a lot of clubs. And when a player like that comes in, you're like, bit of a journeyman, not sure. Will he adapt to the League of Ireland? He's been really good over the last couple of weeks. And he's a sulky player as well. And this is what I like about what Graeme Coughlin's done. He's turned these sulky, classy players and he's got them working hard and running hard. That's to me, that's the biggest improvement of the whole lot. I don't know technically or tactically what he's done, but he's got them running for each other and he's got them kind of bought into the journey. He's been good. Noonan's been good. Really good against Sligo. Now, I think Sligo were very poor. Sligo never put in any tackles in the game. Very passive. I was worried. Now, after that game, I'm worried for Sligo big time. But Waterford are flying.
But should we call this last week, didn't we, Gareth? I mean,
yeah.
The manager after the Bowes game was talking about.
But we talked about it, Vinny, right? Why did he say that? What was the reason behind it? What narrative was he given? I thought they were going to get a reaction for the cup match. He got anything but that.
This, of course, is Darren Purse's comments after the game against Bohemians the week before. I might actually just move on to Sligo Rovers completely. I think John Mann has been a standing for Waterford as well recently, but that's what's going on at Sligo Rovers. Over the last couple of weeks, it just like they seem to have taken a punt on Darren Purse. Like, look, time will tell at the end of the season if it's going to work out or not. It certainly hasn't looked like it's been working out over the last couple of weeks. Another comprehensive, convincing loss on Friday night in the Cup. Is there a realistic hope for Sligo to stay up here, Finny?
No, none. Zero. We spoke about it last week, Ben, and I didn't go as far as saying that they probably need. Bring in new manager, I said, do you need to bring someone in that understands the league and understands sort of week in, week out stuff? Dan Purse is still learning about the league and his players. And we called it at the time, 6-7 weeks ago. It was a really poor appointment. He may turn out long term to be a really good appointment if they go down and he stuck with him and his ability to manage young players and bring in players from England, etc., etc. But you know what? Sligo have a decision to make before the next game, and that is, do we have a cut off staying up, do something different, or do we stick with what we're doing and accept relegation? We're only 6 points behind. It is achievable, but on current form, what we're listening to, I don't see it happening. I'd be shocked if it happened.
But you got off our guard, because like Vinny mentioned 6 points there. When you think about it, it's the same 6 points to separate Bohemians and St. Pat's from Shamrock Rovers. And I mean, we're talking about if Pat's can get a result on Friday, that the title race might be back in again. Like, would you say it is final for Sligo?
Well, I mean, they can make a decision. I think they've made the decision already. I mean, I'd be very surprised if they got rid of Darren Purse. I don't think it looks good in the club, the decision to bring him in the first place. But as Vinny said, if they want to make a real fuss of it, they don't seem like that type of club that are just going to go and change manager after manager after manager. They should have done their due diligence on Darren. They should have known what they were bringing in, and this is what it is. So they either accept it and go down and rebuild, or as Vinny said, they make a quick decision. I don't see them changing, and I don't like to see managers losing their jobs so quickly.
I never called for that. We're doing this nearly 3 years ago. I've never, ever, ever, ever called for that. I'm just saying, we're at that stick or twist moment. I think it's 5 points. They've got to, their goal difference is so far behind, if I'm not mistaken. They'll need to win, pick up 6 points more than draw it. So it's a long shot. But they haven't looked like it. They've looked defeated. The managers look defeated. It's common to be defeatist. So if you do the same thing, expect different results, hey, that ain't happening. And this isn't John Russell's Sligo. This is Darren Purse's Sligo now. John Russell's Sligo have scraped out of it for years, by hook or by crook. Doesn't look like this is going to happen now.
No, and I think there was a wee bit of optimism in the home game against Waterford to finish 0-0. They were really good in the first half, and I thought, you know what? If they can just kick on and become a wee bit more dirty, a wee bit more harder to beat, then they've got a chance. Then they went up to Bowes and just were non-existent, too easy to play against, and the same again against Waterford recently in the FAA Cup. And if you can't get yourself up for an FAA Cup quarter final, whatever's going on in the league, you can't get yourself up to get a European spot to play in the Aviva. Then there's motivational problems. That was a big disappointment for them.
Darren Purse has said, Gareth, in the last 2 weeks, I'm not sure it was after Waterford Bowls game, that he learned a lot tonight. He made a mistake about a substitution and etc, etc. You come out with comments like that, wow, that's playing with a club. And there's no guarantee Sligo go down and come back up anytime soon.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
when I heard that comment, I was like, wow, you know, wow.
Yeah. Well, hey, look at their next game, away to Drogheda. Like, when you're looking for a result, you do not want to be going to Drogheda, who's just above you. And by the way, Drogheda played last week against Galway in the FAA Cup. So they're not struggling for form or struggling for goals, or some of their players are playing well. That's going to be a tough week for Sligo if they're beat there.
Come here, if they win next week against Drogheda, then they're 2 points behind. I look like a donut, so fair enough. Like, but you can only say what you see, Gareth. I mean, if you were a player in that dressing room, listening to the manager's comments, because that's what players do, you wouldn't be rolling up your sleeve ready to go to war at the moment.
No, I didn't see that. And if you're not going to war in the quarter final of an FAA Cup, where you've got nothing to lose, really, yeah, then I don't know what's going to kickstart these players.
Gareth, I promise you, we will get on to Derry City. But I want to stay in Connacht for the time being. Another manager who has been under fire from none other than some of his own fans sometimes, and that is John Caulfield, lads. Galway United into a semi-final of an FA Cup. They are going to host Derry, and we will get on to Derry City, I promise. But Galway, I was looking at this earlier, and you always kind of tend to look at some sides from what's below them. So you're looking at Galway, and you're going, they're 6 points clear of that ninth spot where Drogheda United are. They're level on points with Derry, lads. They're only a point behind Shelburne. Like, are they all of a sudden now, we're looking at them in the FA Cup semi-final and they are in a race for a fourth spot that, look, may not be enough to get Europe, but it could well be enough to get Europe, and Galway United might be in the hunt for this spot.
Oh, they are, aren't they, Gareth? I mean, if Shells are in a Galway, aren't they? Dundalk, I know they had a big win last week, but Dundalk aren't exactly in good form. What do you need? You need Bowles to win the Cup, don't you really, or Galway to win the Cup. But they're in it. Like, they have a real chance of getting fourth.
What do you make of John Caulfield, lads? I feel like he's got some maybe unfair criticism from Galway United fans about style of football and maybe the lack of bringing through young players into the team. Does it come a point where you just have to accept that it's a results business in that regard when you're in the situation where, look, at the start of the season, you're one of the teams kind of who are rumoured and rooted to be down around the bottom of the table. They look like they're going to survive comfortably. And as we said, they're into a cup semi-final, Gareth. It's like, it feels like that's kind of job done.
I'll give you an example, right? So basically Galway, now John Caulfield has established Galway as a Premier Division team, right? If you look at Cork up and down, if you look at Dundalk up and down, like, it is really difficult to come out of the First Division and establish yourself without getting involved in the relegation battle. But he has done that, and he's now got them into a semi-final, and he's now got a home draw in the semi-final. I mean, what a season this could be if they were able to beat Derry, which is basically a 50-50, if you ask me. So they've got a real chance. Big crowd. Take that momentum. The momentum of having that match in October 10th, I think it is. He will have the confidence of the players. He'll have the home games that they'll have. There's no reason why they can't go and push. But they were, I don't want to say they were lucky the other night, but Drogheda played well and were on top for a lot of it. They had two spells in the game. Right in the middle of both halves, Galway, they played really well, and they had a couple of really good performances, but there's no reason why they can't start looking up rather than down.
How good would it be for Terryland to be absolutely packed? It's interesting. Something needs to catch in Galway, I always felt Galway is a city, because it's a big football city, and people don't probably realise it. We know Orland and GAA down there is huge, absolutely huge, and the fan base they have is huge. But there's a huge football community down there, and maybe it's like winning an FAI Cup, qualifying for Europe, and going on a little journey that could probably double their fan base or their, you know, average attendances, because it feels like something has to catch. And there's no doubt, hope he's not listening, but there's no doubt at times John Stoyle probably doesn't attract people in at stages, and it's not, there is an element to that. But that aside, I think people won't care if they're winning FAI Cups, if they're qualifying for Europe. And I think if Galway were to manage to do that this year, I think that club could kick on to another level. Like, it become, you know, effectively twice as big almost overnight with picking up one big result.
They haven't been to an FAI Cup final since 1991 when they won it. So even something like even getting that trip out to the Aviva.
Ben, who's scored? Without checking, who's scored?
I couldn't tell you. Before my days.
Gareth, who's scored?
Ah, lad. You know I'm only 27.
Right. I actually... Okay.
Do you have a Vinny?
Johnny Glynn. Wasn't it? Johnny Glynn.
Ah, Johnny Glynn, yes.
I remember, yeah.
Yes. Legend. He coached up at Derry for a while.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, him and Stephen were quite close at different stages, yes.
Yeah.
Well, Gareth, I did promise you we will move on to Derry City. And we will move on to Derry City because they will be travelling to Eamon Deasy Park on Sunday the 10th of October, like you said. A 4-2 win over Dundalk. Are you happy?
Happy? Of course. I mean, it's all about getting into the semi-final, right? The scoreline flattered Derry. It wasn't a 4-2, I didn't think. There was a lot of key moments. A bit like the other semi-finals. I mean, Waterford won, or quarter-finals. Waterford won easy. But the other games were like on moments, and this is the same. It probably flatters Derry at the end with a 4-2, but there was a lot that went on in the game that you thought, oh, Dundalk just lacked that wee bit of quality. I thought when Harry Groom came on, he looked, I don't understand why he didn't start. I don't know whether it was because they were going to the Brandywell, but Dundalk started really well in the first 20 minutes. They were really good. A lot of set pieces. Now, you might not saw on the TV, there was a big wind, which Derry actually decided to go against in the first half, which I found interesting. But Dundalk were one ahead, possibly a couple of half chances. But then Derry obviously gets a great header. I think it was, who was it again? Anamassoun thought that Patrick was offside, and then Cornwall behind him was playing him on, hits a shoulder and goes in. And then, of course, we all saw the penalty decision. And then a 2-1, they had a chance, went down on one-on-one with the keeper and hit the keeper. So, very happy, but a lot of work to do. And going to Galway for the semi-final, just to finish on Galway, set pieces is going to be crucial. And I worry about Derry's physicality.
It's amazing, isn't it, the amount of times in the last almost 3 months that Dundalk have taken the lead in games and ultimately lost them or drawn. Yeah. And so many goals they've conceded from set pieces. You go back, they were 2-0 up against Waterford and lost 3-2, three set pieces. They 1-0 up against Shells, didn't win. Against Pats, didn't win. So many games that they just failed to hang on. And look, the glass is half full in Dundalk because, you know, if I think that big win a couple of weeks ago against Drogheda probably secured the status, and ultimately that's all they care about, and it gives them a free hit now of hopefully finishing fourth and maybe getting into Europe. So, but there's a lot of improvements still need to be done at Dundalk, and Dundalk has done an unbelievable job. You just need to be careful that they don't finish really badly and that drags itself into next season. I know that's a long way away, but sometimes, you know yourself, Gareth, when momentum goes against the team, even though it was back end of last season, it's just hard to get going again and getting wins. And but people are saying Derry didn't impress them and they've still got problems, and maybe that's true. You know what? You get to a cup final to win a cup, nobody gives a rat's how you get there. Just get in. You cannot win a cup if you're knocked out of it. Just stay in the competition and you have a chance, and that's what you do.
Yeah, and it's strange, Vinny, on the Dundalk set pieces thing, because they have some big players. I mean, Cornwall was playing, Anamassoun was playing, Vassanen looked really good. He's only 18, played left back. He's big, strong boy. I mean, it's interesting that they keep conceding. And to be honest with you, bar the goal, Derry didn't look like scoring from set pieces. It was just the movement of Paddy and the ball from Michael was unbelievable, and hit his shoulder and went down over the keeper.
Gareth? I don't mean like this, but it wasn't. It was just awful defending by the young defender, and he's got to be more experienced and see him running. He's 4 yards behind the line, as such. Yeah. Paddy is. And he should have just let him go and stepped the other side of it and have seen the bigger picture, put his hand up. And it's just inexperience from the young lads. He learned from that. Let's see that video back. It was like the rest of the team on a good line, and he's gone 4 yards behind them. It's crazy stuff.
Yeah, and that was a key goal in the game as well.
We spoke about Galway United and making a cup final. I mean, we can all remember what Derry brought down to a cup final a couple of years ago, and you'd wonder, with something like that, even just getting that day out, could unite the fan base around again together. Joey O'Brien was on television on Friday night, lads. He spoke about a couple of things. One thing was his departure from Shelburne, which Shelburne vehemently disagree with and said that that's not what happened at all. Another thing is that he talked about Derry City, lads, and he said that they're a fascinating football club, a huge football club. Gareth, there is a vacancy. I know Joey has gone in briefly to work with the Irish under-17 team ahead of the World Cup in Qatar at the end of the year. Is Joey O'Brien on your candidate list for the Derry City gig?
He would have to be, wouldn't he? You'd have to consider him. The experience he's got, how well he did when he went down to Shells. Listen, there's probably 10 names that you could put down as candidates. I think the main thing is the club, the chairman, has got to write down exactly what he's looking for. And whoever falls within that, then they come on board. The thing that I was shouting about, and the thing that Mark Connolly, for me, has brought back to the club, is the exciting football. Derry City has got a history of it. of a history of attacking good players. And Mark Connolly, you saw the passion from him on the bench or on the sidelines in the FA Cup match against Dundalk. He was buzzing. He knows what it means to play in an FA Cup, to win an FA Cup with Derry. That was good. But I mean, Joey O'Brien coming up to Derry, he's got to be considered. I mean, there's probably about eight names with good League of Ireland experience that you have to consider for the role. But I think Derry are doing the right thing. They're taking their time and they're going to get this appointment right.
Vinny, any other...
Are Derry safe, Gareth?
Go on.
Are Derry safe?
They've 34 points, 6 points above Drogheda, played the same games. I don't think... Well, if you're saying Shelburne aren't safe and Galway aren't safe, then Derry... I think Derry will shoot... It's the same with the FA Cup quarter final at the weekend against Dundalk. I think Derry have got enough firepower and the way Mark plays to win enough games. They're not going to draw many. They're going to win enough games. They're going to pick up two or three wins. Yeah.
Vinny, any other candidates that you think would be suited to the Derry job?
Oh, there's loads, Ben. I mean, they're keeping everything so quiet at the moment, obviously, for whatever reason, and maybe the owner is doing the business himself, and which is good to see. I mean, the media mafia have been kept out of this one, so... I think there's plenty of people capable of doing it. It's funny, I've said this before, and it's not a new thing. I can see my thesis maybe on my pro license back 6 years ago. I think you're nothing unless you have passion in your football club. Very similar to what Pep has spoke about recently in the documentary. And you're nothing without passion. Derry City is an outstanding football club for someone to get a hold of. But it doesn't have to be... What's the word I'm looking for? Gareth will understand this, because when you work with people from Derry, you get it and you understand them. It doesn't have to be the next genius. It just has to be... Obviously, you have to have a level of football knowledge and ability. It just has to be somebody who gets the place, gets it, and can get that club firing again, can get the young players coming through. Derry are brilliant to bring in young players through, can get hold of the community, much like what Stephen Kenny did all them years ago. It's somebody like that. That doesn't mean it has to be, you know, one of the great names of the league or any of that stuff. Sometimes just faces will fit a certain club for a certain reason, and they just have to find that person. It has to be out there, but... It's easier said than done. There's no right or wrong in this for me. I just think they've got to get somebody that can ignite the club, can just make it feel special again, can put the love back into the football club.
Someone who can ignite a place, someone who's a passionate man, who cares a lot about the League of Ireland. There's no promises that that's where Stephen Doyle has gone this week, lads, when he's taking a sabbatical from the LOI pod. We're going to stick with Derry for one final thing, right? We have a quiz question that I'm going to put to the two of you. This came in from Carl Riley on Twitter. Barry Cotter has made the move to Sofia after obviously he played them a couple of weeks ago for Derry City in the European... That was the Europa League first round, wasn't it, that game? Anyways, he obviously played against them a couple of seasons ago as well in Tallaght Stadium for St. Pat's Athletic. He's now the fourth player from a League of Ireland club to have signed for a European club that they faced in the same season. There are three others. How many of them can you name? If there's none coming to your top of the head, I can give you clues. If you'd like the clues, lads.
I'll try Kieran Martin.
No. I'll start with clue number one. This first player is in 2005 and he went from Bohemians to Ghent in Belgium.
Centre forward.
That's the one, Vinny.
He is back working in Ga at the moment, isn't he?
He's from the People's Republic of Cork.
Yeah, Dominic Foley.
I wish we had a ding for this one. Player number two. This is 2009. And it's St. Patrick's Athletic to Valletta.
Valletta.
The Maltese. He ended up winning a trophy in Malta with Valletta. His nickname was Italian. It was an Italian nickname.
Fabio.
It was Fabio.
Did Did he go to... Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
There's Fabio, your ding, lads. Thanks very much to Brona for that one. Declan O'Brien, Fabio from St. Pat's Athletic to Valletta. Yeah. Only spent a couple of months at Valletta. Won a cup and then came back. The third one, this is a little bit more recent, 2019. Shamrock Rovers to Apollon Limassol.
I'll leave that one to you, Gareth. It's an obvious one. Mick McCarthy signed him.
Jack Byrne?
Yeah.
Wrong.
No.
Wrong, lads. This fella came back. You're thinking of Apoel. This is Apollon Limassol.
All right. Okay, go on then.
I'll give you a hint. He came back. So this was Shamrock Rovers to Apollon Limassol in 2019. And he came back to the League of Ireland in 2022 to go to Shelburne. He is an attacker as well. He has six caps.
Is he playing with Shells now?
He is not. He has six caps for Trinidad and Tobago. It is Dan Carr.
He actually scored
a lot of goals for Shamrock Rovers in the 2018 season, I think, the season before he left, and then obviously came back to Shelburne. I think he might only got two or three goals, that Shelburne team, in 2022, the first year that they got back up. But Barry Cotter joins that four-man now. Excuse us. This is a mad move, lads. It's been exciting that he's gone out and gone to a European club with a bit of pedigree as well in CSKA Sofia. But, Gareth, this just seems bizarre, this type of move.
I tell you what's even more bizarre. The day after he signed, the manager left or was... he's in a bit of a sticky situation. But no, it's a great move for him. I mean, he obviously played against him. He did quite well. I watched the games. But he's up at the end of the season. It's a fantastic move for him. Really good. And Derry did okay. I mean, I keep talking about the League of Ireland, about it being the bargain bin of European football. Derry did okay. I don't know the exact figures, but it's around 70K. So that's not bad for someone with a few months left in his contract. I know their window was closing, so there was a bit of bargaining going on. So I think it's a good deal for everyone.
Very quickly before we finish, lads. Vinny, the big game on Friday night is St. Pat's Athletic hosting Shamrock Rovers. Is there a chance that this most talked about by us here and off the ball, this title race, could it be back on, or are we all just being dreamers like yourself, Vinny?
It is back on. Rovers haven't put it to bed. They are somewhere in between becoming really good again and just being okay. And this is a huge opportunity for the rest of the league to sort of take the sting out of Rovers. It is a massive game for the rest of the league, and Pat's got to win it. And what I mean by that is, I think five out of six seasons, Rovers have qualified for group stage conference, particularly with the season. I know it didn't go for them this year. So if you want to stop them, then you have to win the league when they're not playing well and they're not in good form. The Shell's done it a couple of years ago. And this is a massive opportunity. Shells are in transition. I've been saying it all season. And they're too comfortable at the moment ahead of everybody else for their standard of play they have. So it's up to others to knock them off the perch. And this is a huge moment. Pats have played well, actually, ironically, in the last couple of weeks and haven't got the results. They have to play at their very best, and if they do, they're good enough to beat Rovers this week. And then all bets are off. 3 points is 3 points, and it's up to Bowlers to do their business as well. And then all of a sudden, it's a three-horse race.
Yeah, Inchicore will be rocking. My God, what a game. The fact that Pats are at home and they've got a chance. When they play this game, they're away then for three matches in a row. Dundalk, Sligo and Derry, and then home to Shelburne. So it's a massive game. If they were to win on Friday night, I think the momentum going away to Dundalk and away to Sligo the next two games. I mean, do they need to pick up 9 points? Probably.
The only problem is, Ben, all season long, we could be sitting here next week, Bowlers have lost and Pats have lost.
Yeah. And there is, of course, the other side of this where Pats play that game the weekend and I think they face Sligo, is it next, Gareth, you said? And then there's basically a month gap before they play again because of the way the fixtures have reshuffled around with the FAI Cup. So you can only get so much rental from that. There's also obviously the factor that the Section G block in Richmond Park is going to be closed because of the two-game suspended ban that they've been handed. So, look, it may be...
Yeah, that's,
what does that even mean? That's nonsense. All of that is Section G. Go and sit in Section H for Jesus' sake, whichever.
Yeah. That's from what I can gather, lads, they have moved, they've closed off that section, and everyone who's in that section will be told to either go over to the Camac over the other side or else behind the goal in the patron stand.
Yeah. But so that's a killer. That's a killer for the spectacle that it is. Biggest match of the season, probably for Pats and possibly Rovers, and now we've got a stand closed. I mean, it's awful, and to the fan that did it, I mean, that's shocking behaviour. It's awful to see something like that happening. And by the way, the player, who was the player again? He was exceptional. He deserves huge credit.
Gareth.
There you go. He just put his hands up and goes, what are you doing? Like, in the heat of the moment, he could have reacted. Tempers could have been up. He could have went into the crowd, Eric Cantona-esque, and we'd have a whole nightmare.
I mean, when you think of the scene of the fan running on a Horgan.
Yeah.
You think of just a couple of instances. We need to be careful. There's a line you can't cross. And to be fair to the FAI and disciplinary committee, they've got to make certain sort of allowances. And I think there's other ways of doing it, like reducing, either hit them with a ban, a full stadium ban, instead of moving them into a different section where the same behaviour will go on, just in a different section, blocking off the first four or five rows of the main stand, and that cuts down their sort of attendance. There is other ways of doing this, but to simply close one section, it's not like it doesn't make lots of sense. But when you're going to matches, lads, behave yourself. Like, cheer, call me names, call anybody names. Just don't get personal, don't cross the line. And I think there's been a couple of incidents, particularly recently, where people are right on the borderline, and the FAI have to make a stance on it. And I understand
I understand that, right, 100%. The FAI have got to implement the rules. But there's people at St. Pat's have breaking their arses, volunteers, marketing people, getting people into the bloody stadiums, and now they're being told you can't. I mean, what does G stand? How many does that mean that's going to have to be moved? Do we know?
Oh, it'd be close to 200.
It's about 200 or so, yeah. When you're looking at it's in that, you know, that boisterous stand on the right-hand side of the main stand. It's kind of the safe standing section, so about 200.
You know what I mean? I mean, they're trying their best to increase brand awareness, get people into the ground, have sellouts. And now they're hitting with this obstacle as well. I just feel sorry for the clubs, and I understand the FAI have to implement the rules. I understand that. It's just this match particularly, and all the other matches, we want full stadiums. Aesthetically, it looks great on the TV, LOI TV, RTE, Virgin, whatever it is. We need full stadiums.
Hey, Virgin this week, hey.
Relax yourself.
That's a man who's contracted to multiple places. Of course, you can listen to the game. You can watch all the build-up with Vinnie Perth and the lads until 8 o'clock. And then as soon as it hits 8 o'clock, turn off that telly, turn on the radio. The live and exclusive League of Ireland commentary game this Friday night. It is first versus second. The Shamrock Rovers facing a long Lewis trip across South Dublin to Richmond Park to take on St. Pat's Athletic. Owen Heary is going to be alongside myself at 8 o'clock on Friday night.
Ben, you better call it the Lewis Derby on radio. I'll not listen to you again.
I absolutely will, Vinny. Don't you worry about that. Vinny Perth, Gareth McGlynn, thanks as always, lads, for everything.
Cheers,
this week. We will be back next week.
Cheers, Ben. The LOI Pod. On Off the Ball, catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
The Off the Ball Rugby Roadshow is coming to your province. Join some of the biggest stars from Leinster, Munster, Ulster and Connacht as we travel round the country to preview the 2026-27 rugby season. Don't miss your chance to be there. Get your tickets now at offtheball.com/events.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. for access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.